Hey there, I'm Rachel Aaron, and you're listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Get inspired as we discuss creative resources, trends in piano pedagogy, ways to grow your income and streamline your studio, and new ways to engage your students each week. If you are a teacher who wants to go beyond the method books to create an innovative studio that fosters lifelong music makers, you've come to the right place. Hello, piano teachers. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I have been looking forward to this episode for a while now. I had reached out to today's guest a few months ago, and he agreed to do the interview, but he was traveling over the summer, which he actually shares about on the episode. So I had to wait for a bit to talk to him. But I'm telling you, it was well worth the wait. I know that there are a lot of you out there who have thought about creating an online course, maybe for your students or for other piano teachers. Maybe you have even started creating it, but haven't had the time or energy to finish it. If this sounds like you, you are going to love today's episode. Jacques Hopkins spent 8 years as an electrical engineer before quitting to turn his passion for music into a highly successful online piano course. Pianoin21days.com has generated over $4 million in revenue and has taught over 10,000 students worldwide. Today, Jacques supports his family with the passive income from his course while also teaching others how to replicate his success through the online course show podcast. Here is my interview with Jacques Hopkins. Hi, Jacques. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little about your business?
Thank you so much for the opportunity here, Rachel. Really appreciate you having me on. So I teach piano, much like many of the people you've had on and many of your listeners, but I come at this from a different perspective and a different background, because I wasn't your traditional piano teacher. The last thing I want to do is offend any piano teachers, because I have the utmost respect for the traditional path as well. But I was an engineer. All my life I wanted to be an engineer. I wasn't ever very good at music. I wasn't good at art. I wasn't good at reading. I was good at math and science. And so I wanted to be an engineer. The other motivation, I'll be completely transparent with you, is I looked at, math and science. So I looked at the numbers and I was like, there's not many 4-year degrees that you can, that's all you need to get. You don't need to get the graduate degrees, and you can go start working and make a pretty good living right from the very beginning. So I was like, that sounds great, right? Money is like, it's not everything, but it's important, right? And so I got into it and I read, I may maybe get into too much detail, but I read a book called 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, my senior year of engineering school. And ever since reading that book, I was like, you know what? This guy's doing really, really cool things with his life. It wasn't so much like the 4-Hour Workweek, but it was more of like being able to work from anywhere that really appealed to me and being able to do cool things. And so while I was an engineer, I was trying to figure out some kind of side business, online business type thing that I could do in that, following that model. And I tried a few different things. I tried to make an app. I tried to do a blog. And one day I was procrastinating working on whatever business I thought would be cool by playing my piano. Because I've been playing piano since I was 5. I was a terrible student, but when I was 17 years old, I discovered a way of playing piano that worked much better for my left brain. And it was learning the chords and learning how to improvise around those chords. Sheet music, just like the memory and all that, I dreaded those piano lessons, right? They were great for a lot of people. For me, they didn't work well for. And so I was procrastinating working on whatever business I thought I should be working on by playing my pianos. And then it just kind of hit me. I was like, well, if this is what I'm coming to just relax after work, I wonder if there's something here. And then I was like, well, I kind of started playing a different way than the mainstream playing, right? Your average piano teacher isn't just going to go out the gate teaching chords and improvisation, I'm guessing, right? Would you agree with that? So I wonder if there's a segment of people out there who this would be a good starting point for, right? So I started putting YouTube videos out there. I made a course, and this was 11 years ago. It's worked, right? I've gotten over 10,000 students. It's brought in over $4 million. Just for context, right? I hope I'm not coming across as bragging or anything, but what I've done works. So I've got Piano in 21 Days. And I created a second business a few years ago because I really like the business side of things. And I also, the other reason is because as a course creator, you get very lonely, right? I'm in my office, creating my videos, my piano videos. And I knew there were other people out there doing similar things in other niches. And it could be similar niches like teaching guitar, teaching singing, or random niches like growing and selling microgreens, like quilting. I mean, I've had all kinds of people on my podcast now. So I have two businesses now that I run. One is coaching people on starting and growing an online course business. And then I still run my Piano in 21 Days business.
Great. Thank you for sharing that background. And this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because you are a pianist, you teach piano, but you also have all of this other knowledge and this other business about creating courses. And I think a lot of piano teachers, they have ideas about something like this that they want to do. Maybe it's a course they want to create or a resource that they want to create. So we're going to dive into specifically online courses today. But before we do that, I would love for you to tell listeners a little about your recent trip to Europe. I think it's really inspiring to hear from entrepreneurs who have made it to the place where they have that time freedom and the freedom to travel and spend time with people they love. Can you share a little about your recent trip?
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks for asking about that. As I mentioned, that was kind of my motivation into getting into all this, right? So when I worked as an engineer for 8 years, when I quit my job, one of the very first things we did, and by the way, quitting my job was a whole thing. We had a brand new baby. My wife had quit her job. But one of the first things we did, because for the first time we could do it, was we moved to France for 3 months. I mean, we lived there for 3 months. It wasn't the longest time ever. It was the longest time we could go without having to get a visa and worry about all that. And it was kind of an experiment to see if we'd like to live over there. Turns out it was a little far to be from friends and family. I'm born and raised in New Orleans, so I'm in the US like you. And so we decided that we just want to travel a lot and that we're going to stay where we live. So we did the 3 month thing. That was my oldest daughter is 9 years old now. So that was a long time ago now. And so we travel a lot. And the most recent trip we just got back from was 4 weeks in Europe. We went back to that same city that we now know and love, that we stayed there for 3 months. It's actually my favorite city in the world. It's called Annecy, France. And that's we named my oldest daughter after that city. It's where my wife and I got engaged as well. Really cool place. Highly recommend it. But we went to 6 cities over 4 weeks. We did the Olympics in Paris. We brought my daughter to Taylor Swift on her birthday in Germany. That was epic. My other daughter turned 7 while we were there. We took her to Disneyland Paris while we were there. Really, really great family trip. And I worked 4 hours over the course of 4 weeks.
That's so inspiring. Wow, that's amazing. It sounds like such a fun trip. Thank you for sharing about that.
Thanks for asking about it. It was probably the best trip I've been on. It was such a great family trip.
It sounds like it. One for the books, for sure. So take us back to when you decided to create your piano course. You said that you were working as an engineer. You had tried a couple of businesses. You got this idea for the piano course. How long was it then until you were able to quit your engineering job and make a living doing the piano course?
Overnight. It was super easy. It was like, it was, you just threw some things together and all of a sudden I was raking it in. That couldn't be further from the truth. I got the idea in March of 2013. I remember the day I was sitting at my piano and I was like, huh, maybe I should do something around this, right? But I didn't know what to do. And so it took me about 8 months to actually like build a course and launch it. When I launched it, I didn't make any sales. Slowly but surely, I took courses, I read books, I listened to podcasts, trying to figure out how to make this thing work. I remember the first sale happened about a year in. And I was starting to get kind of discouraged by the whole thing because I'd put in a lot of time into it. But the very first sale I made, I was like doing a launch, and like that day I didn't make any sales. And that was my wife could tell I was kind of upset about it. I went to sleep and I was like, you know what? You know, people talk about like making money while you sleep. Maybe that's like, maybe I just need to go to sleep. So I went to sleep. I wake up, I check, no sales still. She's like, look, just, you know, go get us some coffee. You know, so I went to Starbucks, get us some coffee. And I was in line at Starbucks and I got a ding on my phone. And it was my very first sale. And I literally started dancing in line at Starbucks because like I was really discouraged. And all of a sudden it was like somebody I have never met before. I don't know who this person is. Paid me money through the internet to buy something that I put together. It was amazing. That very first sale was incredible. But it's not like they started raking in after that either. Slowly but surely started building up. I started getting consistently about $1,000 a month, which was like 3 to 4 core sales per month. And that's the point where I ended up quitting my job. Not because I'd replace my income or anything like that. It was like, if I'm going to make this work, I've got to be spending more time on it, right? Because I had a demanding job. I come home. I wasn't working on it all that much because I didn't have that much time. I had a new baby. My wife retired. She was an engineer too. She retired when my daughter was born. And so I was the only one making money. Fortunately, we were both engineers, you know, making pretty good money. So we knew what we wanted. So we put as much as we could into savings. So we had enough money to live very frugally for a year. So we had a year to try to make it work. And so it was about 8 or 9 months into that year, right around the time where my wife told me that we were pregnant with our second kid, that it started working. I made 5 figures a month in October of 2016. And I've made at least 5 figures every month since then. And so it took about 3 years for me from when I got the idea and started over about 3.5 years to where I was like, okay, this is an actual business that's making money and we can live on this.
Okay. That's encouraging actually to hear. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't at the time. It didn't feel good, but it's encouraging to hear because, okay, I have to ask you this, Jacques. How do you know, because you had started a few other businesses, how do you know when to just cut bait and move to the next thing? Or how do you know when you should stick it out for those 3.5 years because you think it's really going to work?
So there's an interesting kind of limbo period where like I was making some money, right? I had some validation. Those people, random people, strangers were buying my product. It just wasn't as frequently as I needed for it to be like a real thing, right? So if 3 years in, I still hadn't made my first sale, probably wouldn't have kept going, right? So those first sales are very important in to keep you motivated and keep you going, right? So I had some level of validation. The people that were going through the course loved it and were getting results. That was really, really important as well. Whereas if you compare that to the other things that I tried, right? None of them ever made a dollar. And with all of those, I got to a point where I was like, this isn't for me, right? So like, I got this great idea to start a blog. I already mentioned that, like, what did I say? Right? Like, I'm left brain. Like, writing is not my thing. Like, I don't know why I thought starting a business around writing was a good idea. I do, even to this day, like, I outsource as much of writing as I can because I don't like writing. So I started that, but I realized, like, this isn't for me, right? There's like two different things that I tried to like invent, like a physical product. And I would go down that path. I thought I had a good idea, but like I realized physical products weren't for me either. It's just like, that's a lot of headache, like prototypes and inventory. And it's just, I realized it wasn't something I wanted to deal with. With this, the digital product, right? There's nothing physical we need to exchange. And then, you know, I stuck with it and started to get some sales. So that's what really kept me going because I never got that, hey, this isn't for me, like I did with the other businesses. And I got some validation that led me to keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really good answer. I always am curious how people know when they should keep on keeping on and when they should cut bait. Can you tell us when you transitioned then to your other business of teaching people how to create courses?
Yeah. So in early 2017, several months in a row of, you know, 5-figure months to where I knew I was working. I was featured on a business podcast talking about my story. And shortly after that episode aired, it was a pretty big podcast. I got an email from a guy asking if I would coach him. I mentioned an example earlier about growing and selling microgreens. That was the first guy I ever coached. Microgreens are just like these baby versions of like vegetables, plants that are like 40 times more nutritious, supposedly, than the fully grown version. And he's like, I have this thing. I started a YouTube channel. I love what you've done. I'd love to do similar. Will you coach me? I hadn't coached anybody before. but I loved podcasts and I'd wanted to start one. But I mean, you have a podcast, like starting one is tough, especially if you want to do like an interview based podcast, because it's like, who am I when this thing doesn't exist yet? How do I reach out to other people about coming on a podcast that doesn't exist yet? So I knew I wanted to do a podcast around online courses and like interview other course creators in other niches. You know, I mentioned like it's kind of lonely, right? And that's one of the things I was thinking about doing. And so he reached out about coaching and I was like, hey, let me ask you this. I've been wanting to start a podcast and I haven't started it yet. What if I coached you, but we record it and turn that into a podcast? And he said yes. And so I've been doing my podcast for 7 years now. And the first like 18 episodes are me just coaching this guy. And eventually he was doing better than me. And I was like, man, I have nothing left to teach you. But I also had a podcast now, and I felt confident reaching out to other people to come on. And so most of the episodes now are just like interviews with other course creators in all kinds of random niches. And now we're at like 230 episodes, still going strong. So I started the second business. That's kind of how it started. And eventually, you know, I wanted to monetize that as well. So I added on a coaching program to that to monetize it. So that's how it got started.
Okay, great. That's really interesting that you started your podcast coaching someone. I like that idea. That's a good way to do it.
It just kind of happened, you know, I mean, maybe that is a good way to start it, but it kind of happened organically.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm hoping that we can talk a little to a piano teacher or a pianist who has an idea for a course, but hasn't taken the leap yet. What do you think they need to know before they ever start creating a course?
There's a lot you need to know. It's not easy. There's a lot. I would say, so like it would take a long time to go over every last detail, but I would, if you don't mind, can I share like maybe one of the most important elements to it?
I would love that. Yes.
When I got started in 2013, just the act of having an online piano course was kind of enough to stand out for the most part. 11 years later, that's not really enough to stand out. There's probably thousands, if not more, piano courses that exist today, right? So I would say the key is to figure out what is going to be unique about you and your lessons and your course versus all the others that are out there. And I still think there's plenty of room out there for more. And sometimes it's like, sometimes you are good enough to be the differentiator, but that's not always the case, especially as more time progresses and there's more competition in the market. But I like to tell a story about chicken fingers. Do you like chicken? I love chicken fingers. You like chicken fingers?
Yeah, I like chicken fingers.
Yeah, they're like a guilty pleasure for me. They're not healthy, but we have this fast food restaurant that started here where I live. It's called Raising Cane's.
Oh yeah, we have that out here.
It's like, I think it's like the number, like the fastest growing fast food chain in the world or something like that. It started here where I live. And how could a fast food chain that like one thing that's unique about them is like, that's pretty much all they sell is chicken fingers, right? How can somebody that only sells chicken fingers be the fastest growing fast food chain? Well, in my opinion, it's because of their special sauce. All right. If you've ever been, the reason you go to Cane's is not because of their chicken fingers. It's because of their sauce. Like that's the thing. You can put their sauce on anything. It's just, it's incredible. Right. But you can find chicken fingers everywhere. All right. In France, in this little city I told you about, Annecy, we like to bike around the lake to this really little city because it's got our favorite beach. That they have, because it's actually got sand in Europe. A lot of times when you hear beach, it's like a grassy beach. So we bike around to this itty bitty city that's got a sandy beach. It's beautiful. There's a little food hut where you can get drinks and food. And like in the middle of nowhere, France, they have chicken fingers. Like I was there a few weeks ago. I got some. Everywhere has chicken fingers. But the reason that Raising Cane's is the fastest growing fast food chain is because they have their special sauce. That's why you go. That's how they stand out. And so as a piano teacher, if you want to get into online courses, you've got to find out what your special sauce is. Like I said, every once in a while, like maybe you and your personality is enough, but usually not. Like what can be unique about you that is different that people can't get anywhere else? What is your special sauce?
I love that analogy. That's great.
Top Music Pro enables you to be a pro in your own studio because you don't have to reinvent the wheel and you don't have to make up all the answers yourself. You have support.
I think of Top Music as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. This site is the whole pot of gold, and there's gold pieces in there that I didn't even know existed.
I am actually teaching a full studio. They're coming online from miles away, so I am certainly thriving.
So what Tim has done is build a global community of piano teachers who are interested, who are engaged. And when you become part of this community, you feel empowered.
My life is different now because I'm not just in an isolated little studio. I have learned that there are other people out there going through very similar learning curves and sharing these ideas.
I've really gained a lot of skill sets where my teaching is far more creative, far more innovative. I have resources so that I can add to it things that I didn't know.
My life and my business are different now because I have the three things that I really wanted: less stress, more money, and more time.
It's gonna be fun. Like, I got excited about being a piano teacher. It's revolutionized everything that I do.
I think I've become a more thoughtful teacher, a more organized teacher. The quality of my teaching has deepened.
I feel like I can do this. I feel a sense of hope. I love the creativity it fosters and the openness to thinking outside the box, and it's energizing.
Joining Top Music really solidified that. Like, no, this is your career. And you can make a career out of this. That has really helped me be proud of what I do.
It's made such a tremendous impact on the way I think about teaching. It keeps your mind open when you have so many ideas.
My best win from being on Top Music Pro is just having a lot more peace of mind as a teacher and as a business owner. It just gives me that less amount of hours that I have to do with research and everything.
It's a really good place to spend a few pounds, a few bucks a month. What you get from it far outweighs what you have to pay into it.
My biggest win with Top Music Pro was increased student retention and increased income. I have a lot more confidence in how I'm teaching, and I have the resources that I need when I do have questions.
I probably went from about 35 students to maybe like 65. I ended up doing 3 classes and I had a waiting list.
If I hadn't signed up with Top Music Pro, I probably wouldn't have realized that teaching piano is a real job and you can build your whole career around it.
So what was your special sauce with your piano course?
It's me. No, I'm just kidding. It's my story and the way that I teach, right? I already mentioned the chords and improvisation, right? So people come for that, but it's the story that leads up to that about how I went through the traditional approach with piano lessons, and I just wasn't a good student. I didn't have many results. I took piano lessons for 12 years, but the only reason I stuck with it was because my parents wanted me to take piano lessons, and I never practiced, right? I was the worst student, right? I'd go to my lesson the next week, hadn't practiced, so she would just like have to reteach me the same stuff again, and my progress was very, very slow. And I think that obviously the normal way of going about piano lessons works for so many people, but it also doesn't work for a lot of people as well. And so when they hear my story about how I struggled, but it was because of the way I was being taught didn't work for me. And what did work for me when I discovered this other approach, they're like, huh? Like, and look, most of my students are like 60 years old plus. They're older folks. And they're like, you know, I took piano lessons for a couple years when I was a kid. I didn't like it either. I really want to learn how to play, but I don't want that experience again, right? I like what Jacques saying. Let me try this chords and improvisation approach. And of course, like the idea of like I can learn in 21 days is very appealing. To be clear, it's piano in 21 lessons, right? So the majority of people that go through my program don't necessarily go through it in 21 consecutive days. But I just try to simplify everything as much as possible. And I talk about concepts on the piano like an engineer would instead of a normal piano teacher. And for my audience, that works really well. And that's my special sauce.
All right. So let's say that you found your special sauce. How do you find your audience and get the word out about what you've created?
What does not work well, in my opinion, is ads. it feels like the easy button, like create some ads, like pay to play, right? It's a rare exception for that to actually work. More often than not, you're going to waste a lot of money doing that way. What I like to do is what's called content marketing. And you put out free content. For me, that was YouTube. YouTube can still work really well. But what didn't exist when I got started that people are succeeding with today are short form content like Instagram and TikTok and things like that. But the best way today still is with some form of content marketing, short form, long form, medium form, putting out free content that's valuable to people that they can get quick wins with to start building trust and rapport with people. To succeed in this, you've got to have eyeballs, find your stuff. You got to have eyeballs, but then you also have to win people's hearts, right? You have to win people's hearts or they're not going to buy from you. You got to get eyeballs, hearts, and then they'll pull out their wallets. And the best way to get their heart, well, really to get their eyeballs and then their heart, is with consistent, valuable content marketing efforts on places like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
Is there anything specific with content creation that's you see working really well right now?
I would say the most important part is you got to be consistent. You can't just plan 5 videos, put them out there, you don't get any traction and you give up. You got to be consistent with it. And then beyond that, the next thing is the hook of each video, right? When people are consuming content, you have like 3 to 5 seconds to grab their attention and get them to stick around. And so if you start, let's say you're like, all right, well, I don't necessarily want to start on YouTube. That sounds like a lot of work, but I can start putting out 45-second videos on Instagram. Those first 3 to 5 seconds are the most important part of the video to hook somebody in. And so I see people getting started and they start their video with like, hi, I'm Jacques and we're going to do a piano lesson today. You've already lost their attention. Right? You got to jump straight in with exactly why they need to stick around. You got to hook them in from the very, very beginning.
Okay. Good advice there. So I want to geek out just for a minute here, if that's okay. Something that I've noticed, because I listened to your podcast and I've followed you for a little while, something I noticed that you teach that's different than a lot of course teachers is the evergreen funnel. And I think what you teach is that you should create your course and have it evergreen from the start. Can you, first of all, you probably should explain what evergreen is, and then tell us why that's the route that you go rather than the live launches that a lot of people teach.
Yeah. So evergreen just means like it's kind of always, it's like always available, right? The opposite of evergreen would be is if you went to my website and I said, hey, the course isn't available right now. We launch twice a year. Join my mailing list. We'll let you know it's available, right? That's the opposite of evergreen. That doesn't work great because who wants to make money only twice a year, right? If I put my course available on my website for sale anytime, technically that is evergreen, but that alone doesn't work well either because there's no urgency. And so that's when we want to have what's called an evergreen funnel, right? And the word funnel confused the heck out of me for like several years into my business. Like it's embarrassing how long into my online business I went without really understanding what a funnel is. So I don't know how much of your audience would get it either, but I just like, I struggle with that for a long time. But what a funnel does for us is it's a combination of web pages, videos, and emails that builds trust and rapport and builds up that heart thing I talked about with your potential customer and then leads them to a sale in a non-salesy way. That's my definition of a funnel. So let's get very, very practical with this. I'll tell you what my funnel looks like. You can go to my website at any time and you'll see a sales page there and you can sign up and buy at any point. I have 2 levels you can sign up for. One level is $500, one level is $1,000. Very rarely do we make a sale through that. 95% of our sales come through our funnel. So if you go to my website, pianoin21days.com, yes, you can buy, but like, all of the big red shiny buttons don't lead you to that. They lead you to the entry point of my funnel, which is a PDF workbook called Learn 36 Popular Songs in 5 Days. So you give me your email address, I give you this free resource, and that's the beginning of the funnel. Everything downstream of that kind of happens behind the scenes, like outside of my normal website. So you'll start getting emails from me. Some will have links, some won't, right? So you have emails. Some emails will have links out to web pages. Some of those web pages will have videos. It's a combination of those things that build trust and rapport, get you some wins on the piano, and then lead to an evergreen deadline. And so what I offer in that deadline is a discount that's going away. I offer 20%, roughly 20% off the pricing. So within the funnel, you can buy for not 500 or 1,000, but you can buy for 400 or 800 within the funnel. And there's some special bonuses I throw in as well if you buy within the funnel. And there's a very limited period of time once you opt in. It's about 10 days later that deadline goes away and you won't be able to get that discount for several more months. And when we say evergreen funnel, that means that deadline date is kind of different for everybody based on when you opted in. So Rachel, if you go opt in today, and when I say opt in, I mean, you give me your email address, I give you that PDF, your deadline is about 10 days later. If somebody else goes and opts in tomorrow, their deadline will be a day after yours. The key to making that like ethical and feeling good about it is when you say you're going to do something, it needs to be true. So when I say that this offer is going away, you will not be able to get this discount anymore. The next day, if you try to click the links and access it, if you can still get to that thing, that's being an unethical marketer, right? But if I say it's going away, it should absolutely go away. And the gold standard tool that I use, that many people use to execute that is called Deadline Funnel.
Gotcha. Okay. So you have all of this set up automatically. So when someone opts in, this just happens in the background, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha. So this can feel a little overwhelming, I think. I think creating courses, that's probably one of the things that holds people back is the overwhelm. Can you speak a little to that and how to, I guess, conquer that feeling of overwhelm?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's not as easy as just making a course and putting it out there. That's actually that's what I tried to do, right? When I got started, I made a course, put it out there. If you build it, they will come is not true. So yes, it's overwhelming. I've been there and I learned all of this the hard way. So I think it's understanding going into it that it's more complicated than that. But what I teach people is they need, you really need four core components to make this work. And the course is one of those components. So you have to make the course, obviously. That's not good enough. So think about it in terms of you need these four components to even have a shot at this working. You got to have your course. Yes. You have to put an offer together. All right. So yes, your course, but that includes the bonuses you're including, the urgency that you're using for, in my case, is a discount that I offer people. The guarantees that you're throwing in there, right? We want to try to take as much risk off of people as we can so that people are afraid of wasting money, right? So my guarantee is a pretty standard one, 30 days, no questions asked, money back guarantee, right? That's part of the offer. Our pricing is part of the offer. We have to put together a really compelling offer that makes our ideal customer feel crazy to not say yes to it. We have to have some sort of funnel. A funnel doesn't have to be super complicated. The type of funnel that works still works really, really well is what's called an evergreen webinar funnel. So what you want to do is have about an hour long webinar training. And that can be the main selling mechanism where you convey your special sauce and then you present your offer. And then you have emails trying to get people to watch the webinar. And then if they didn't watch the webinar, then we can, you know, promote them just the offer, something like that. But all that has to happen some kind of way behind in a funnel. It's just the way that it is. And then the fourth component that you have to have, you could have the best funnel, the best offer, the best course, but if you don't have those eyeballs, then it doesn't matter, right? So you have to have some sort of traffic source. And we kind of talked about that already, that in my opinion, content marketing is still the way to go. So if you look at those four components, I'm not as concerned as what order you put them all together in, but you got to have those four components. So if we're talking about overwhelm, then try to look at it a little simply. Got to have these four components, pick how you're going to do each of the four, and let's start attacking them one at a time and then piece them all together.
Okay. Yeah, that I like thinking of it that way with the four components. So it was, you have your course, you have the offer, the funnel, and then a traffic source. Yeah.
Super easy, right? You'll get it done by tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so Jacques, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I'm about to put you on the spot. So I've created a course for pianists who want to learn how to accompany. True story. I have created my course and I've launched it. I've done live launches twice with a masterclass for people to attend. And I've had a few sales, not great, but I've sold some courses and I've had people go through it. They've really enjoyed it. I've gotten good feedback. I'm planning to live launch again in January. I would love to do 5 figures or something more significant than what I've done. So far, it's been, you know, just a little drop in the bucket. What should I be doing between now and January to make my launch successful?
Ooh, this is great. I love this. Do you mind if we dissect it a little bit?
Go for it. I'd love it.
How many people are on your email list?
180.
180. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. What's the price point?
I did $297 this last round.
All right. About $300. So do you know your conversion rate?
I don't. It's interesting though. The first time I did it, I did 3 masterclasses. I only had like a total of maybe 17 people sign up, something like that. And I ended up selling 7 courses. So it was pretty good. The second time I launched it, I had about 40 people sign up for the masterclass. And I only did 1 masterclass. I had 40 people sign up. About half showed up live, I think. And I only sold 4 courses. But I was able to grow my email list by about probably 80 people. Not sure how with only 40 people signing up for the masterclass, but whatever. My email list grew significantly with that second launch. So I felt like that was kind of a win there. But I don't know the conversion rate exactly.
No problem. It comes down to a numbers game. Okay. So you have 180 people on your email list. When you 2 times ago when you launched and you sold 7 copies, you had more like 100 people on your email list. Well, guess what? That was a 7% conversion rate, which is actually really good. That's really good. My evergreen funnel is about a 3.5% conversion rate, which is also pretty good. So when I hear 7%, that's really good. Okay. So when I look at those numbers, it sounds like your course is pretty good. It sounds like your offer is pretty good. It sounds like your funnel is pretty good. I would encourage you to consider transitioning to more of an evergreen funnel at some point so it's more consistent. But it sounds like you have a traffic problem of those 4 components, right?
Absolutely.
If you're looking to do 5-figure launches or 5-figure months, that's going to be hard to do with only 180 people on your email list, right? So if I were you and I was looking to increase this thing, I wouldn't worry about those other 3 components because those sound like they're doing really well. And I would try to build up your audience. I would put all the time that you have to spend on it. I think focus is really key. And that's one mistake people make is they try to go and work on all 4 of those things at the same time, right? So from what I'm hearing from you, I would completely focus for the next few months on the traffic side.
Yes, that's exactly. You're totally right. I could have figured that out on my own, but I'm glad you told me. That'll stick with me. You're absolutely right. What advice would you give to piano teachers who are thinking about starting an online course or creating a course?
Yeah. So I think I'll just highlight some of the things we already mentioned as well. Like think about that special sauce, like what's going to make you unique, right? And then you've got to, and then focus on these components 1 at a time. But what's interesting too is that traffic piece can often be the hardest. We have a case study of that right now. And so one of the keys with traffic is staying consistent, as I already mentioned, right? If you're with me on the content marketing as the best way to get the eyeballs, you've got to stay consistent with the content marketing. Like that's, if you want to succeed with this, it's hard to ignore that piece. Right. You've got to pick a content marketing platform and stay consistent at it. Cause like you, I don't know what content marketing you've done, if any, but you can do some content marketing and then build your email list up to 180 people. Great. But if you stop, then that's mostly going to stop as well. Right. So sticking with the content marketing would be one of my pieces of advice.
Well, Jacques, I love your podcast. This has been such a pleasure to get to talk to you today. And I thank you for the free coaching as well. Tell listeners where they can learn more from you if they would like to.
Well, my piano website probably doesn't have much for your listeners. That's pianoin21days.com. But if you want to see what my stuff looks like, you know, that's that. My consulting stuff is at theonlinecourseguy.com. But your listeners are likely podcast listeners since this is a podcast. So simply, I would probably just direct them over to my podcast, which is The Online Course Show.
Yeah, and I love your show. It's really inspiring to hear from other course creators who are successful at what I would like to be successful at. So it's really inspiring. I've learned so much from your podcast. So thank you so much, Jacques, for giving your time and being here and teaching us today.
Rachel, I had a blast. This time just absolutely flew by. So thank you for your support, the kind words about my podcast and whatnot, and for having me on today.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Jacques. I loved talking with him and I learned a lot, so I'm sure you did as well. If you have an idea for a resource that you want to create but aren't sure where to start, consider joining the Top Music Pro Evolution membership. Inside, you'll find the Music Teacher Startup course where Tim Topham will walk you step by step through the entire process of designing, building, marketing, and launching a great online product or service, whether you already have something to sell or not. You can get all the details as well as a bunch of bonuses that are being offered at musicteacherstartup.com. That's the end of the show for this week. I'm Rachel Ehring, and you've been listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. I will speak to you again next week.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today.